Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Does that sound a little too loud, or is it okay? How does it sound? Does it sound fine? It sound okay. All right. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. We're beginning this morning a study in our grow groups for the fall that we're calling Relationships in Christ. In fact, relationships because of our connection in Jesus Christ. We're going to look at several key relationships that we have because we're connected with Christ. And this is a challenge because not only is it theological, because we're going to talk about the Bible and theology, but it's very practical as well. We realize that by faith in Jesus Christ, we're born again, we become children of God. We're placed in union with Christ. If you remember, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, in connection with Christ, we're a new creation. We're going to see that verse right at the end of the lesson this morning. So we're going to see that we've been placed in Jesus Christ. As we begin, I want to remind you that because of our union in Christ, we have certain relationships. And there's three big areas that we're going to talk about in these weeks to come. And we'll be able to go through all of this in the fall. But first, the first area is our relationship with Christ. We are in Christ. We have a relationship with Christ. It is an unending relationship with Christ. How do we live? How do we relate? What are we supposed to do? Second area is our relationship with unbelievers. We think about that all the time, that we're in the world. We're not of the world, but we're in the world. How do we relate to people who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior? Now, we've talked many, many times about sharing our faith and those kind of things. Well, we'll go into that as well. The third one is going to be one that's really sort of the key, and that comes back to our relationship with fellow believers, fellow members within the body of Christ. How do we relate to each other, especially when we think about the body of Christ, and especially when we think about the church and the local body and how we relate to each other? And so there's so much as we look at the study on how we can put things together. Here's our goal. We always have a goal for a study, but it's to touch lives for Jesus Christ as we seek to live for Him. And here's the key. Knowing our Savior as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, so we want to know Him. We want to share our faith with those who do not know Christ. And then we want to love and serve fellow believers. So it's the idea of connecting with Christ, with unbelievers, with believers. And we want all three of these vitals. We want to know our Savior. And when we talk about knowing Him, we're not talking about knowing Him for salvation. We're going to see more about that in a little bit. Then we want to make a difference for Christ in our community. And then we want to serve one another. So there's a lot of things we're going to see as we go through this study. So when you go to the Grow Group today, we've got some questions to raise about the lesson. As you know, we give you the handout. We put the answers in for you, so it's a little bit easier, so you don't have to write down quite as much. You can always write a little extra things out beside them as we go through it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, new things are come. By faith in Christ, we're placed in Him. We're new people. We have new relationships. We have relationships with Christ. We have relationships with unbelievers. We have relationships with believers. So this semester, as we look at grow groups, we want to think about those relationships. Now, let's think about our world and our culture. It's different. It's definitely different than what we see in the scripture. The world has what we called the focus on self mindset. The world says, I need to do what's best for me. I need to do my own thing. I want to have it my way. I have the right to be happy. I decide what's right and wrong. There's been a shift. If you go back 30 or 40, maybe 50 years ago, there were rights and wrongs, and people knew what rights and wrongs were. But over the last 50 years, there's been a shift in what they call relative truth, meaning that there really isn't truth. What's true for me may not be true for you. And I may say, well, this is what's true for me. You can have whatever truth you want, but this is true for me. And with that mindset, that this may be the opposite of what I believe, but both could be true. And that's relativism. And that's what's happened in our world and our culture. And so you have people saying, well, Christianity is okay for you, but this is what's true for me. And we live in a world that's way. And for those of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, we find that the Word of God tells us something totally different. In fact, instead of looking out for ourselves, the Bible actually tells us to look out for others. In Philippians chapter 2, talks about that, don't look out so much for your own things, but look out for the needs of others. The Bible actually says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and love what? That of your neighbor as yourself. And even Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that is, I have loved you. You do what? You love one another. And so our world is different. Our culture is different. The culture of the Bible, the culture of what we look at is totally different. And so we see that there's relationships, our relationship with Christ, our relationships with unbelievers, our relationships with believers. And we have to realize that in the body of Christ. And this is a thing that's pretty hard in the United States, because in America, we're taught we do it our way. We're taught that you can do anything you want to do. People say, you can do anything you want to do. You can't do anything you want to do. I'll never high jump 7 feet. No matter how much I want to high jump 7 feet, I'm not going to be able to high jump 7 feet. I'm not smart enough to do certain things. I don't have the intellectual ability to do certain things. There are certain things I'll never be able to do. So when it says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, he's not saying I can be an NBA player, I can do that. He's saying you can live out God's principles and truths with the gifts, talents, and abilities that he has given you. You can do that. Look at the flow of the passage. It's not just saying I can do anything I want to do. We realize that we need each other. In our culture, the culture says watch out for you. The Bible says watch out for each other. And so we're in the body of Christ. And that means this group of believers that we meet together on Sundays and through the week, we're there for each other. As John Donne says, there's no man as an island. And so in this fall study, we're going to look at those three big relationships. Let me put them up here again, and let's just talk about it for just a second. This is the outline of the study. We're going to look at our relationship with Christ, relationship with the world, and then I've got another slide I'll come back to. It is relationship within the body of Christ. So let's go back to our relationship with Christ. Notice we're going to start with the past. We're going to talk about the change. We're going to deal with what we were like before we had a relationship with God. We were different. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Now we've gone from death to life and we're a new person. God has a plan for us. That's now the present. The plan is to serve Christ. The plan is to live for him. And we're going to talk about that. And then that takes us to a future aspect of rewards. I work ahead on this and I've already got through those lessons. Really, when you think about rewards, do you know that most people that you'll come in contact with have no concept of rewards from the scripture? Many people are thought that salvation is the reward, that you live good, try to live right, do what's right, and the reward is you get to go to heaven. The Bible talks about rewards. Salvation is a gift. It's not something that we earn or gain, but salvation is a gift given to us by faith. But rewards we do earn, and we're going to talk about the aspect of living for Christ, serving Christ, with the future aspect of rewards. That's based on our relationship with him. There's a second aspect, and that's relationship with the world. You might say that's the relationship with the unbelievers. We're going to talk about our works, we're going to talk about our words, and we're going to talk about our testimony. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or in deed, your word and your works, and they go together. And we're going to look at that. How do we live in a fallen world? What do we say in a fallen world? And then we're even going to talk about our testimony. And this is the key in our relationship with unbelievers. That'll take us to our third area. And this is one that I think is vital. And it's exciting when you look at this, because this is the relationships within the body, relationship to the believers. We're going to talk about the local church. We're going to talk about the plan that is in Ephesians chapter 4, which is the famous, we have a purpose of our church. We have a plan. This is the plan. But then we're going to highlight three key relationships. And you may have never thought about these three relationships. Some of you have actually studied them and put it together. All of us need a Paul. A Paul is someone who's a mentor, someone who's gone before us, someone who's farther down the road than we are, someone who's more spiritually mature, and you need somebody that can help you continue to grow. Then we all need a Barnabas. The word Barnabas really means son of encouragement. That's what it means. And it's an encourager. And everybody in our lives need somebody, some group, somebody that encourage us, because it's so easy to quit. It's so easy to look at everything and give up. It's so easy to say, this is never going to get any better. It's so easy to say, I don't know what I'm going to do. You need somebody that says, you can do it. I'm with you all the way. I believe in you. And that's a Barnabas. And then we all need a Timothy, which is someone that we're discipling. It is so amazing that most Christians go through their whole lives First of all, never even leading anybody to Christ. But second, never training or helping another believer to grow. That's what a Timothy is all about. So all of us need somebody in our lives that's like a mentor that's helping us grow. All of us need somebody that's going to encourage us as we go day by day. And all of us need someone that we're discipling. And those are the three key relationships that we're going to see within the body of Christ. So we're going to look at three things: our relationship with Christ, our relationship with the believers, with unbelievers, and then our relationship with believers. It's going to take us a while to go through some of this. This first lesson, I've just kind of given a little background. I just want you to see how it fits. Let's talk about our relationship with Christ. And by the way, it's the greatest of all relationships for us, is the relationship with Jesus Christ. We belong to Him. We are in Christ. We have eternal life. The greatest event that could ever happen is that we would have salvation. We would trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. Salvation is a gift that comes by faith. For you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ comes by faith. Most of you know I trusted Jesus Christ when I was in college. I thought you had to be good. I thought you had to do more good than bad. I just thought one day I would stand before God, and if I did more good than bad, I would go to heaven. I wandered into a Bible study, and I heard the truth that Jesus is the Savior, that He died on the cross to pay for sin and rose again. And if you would believe in Him, you would never perish, but have everlasting life. Look at John chapter 10. Look at verse 28. This is Jesus talking to His disciples, and He says this. He's talking to a whole group of people. The Jews are all gathered around Him. It's at the Feast of the Dedication, which is Hanukkah. And He said, "My sheep hear My voice. I know them. They follow Me." And then verse 28, He says, "And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish." He goes on to say, "Nobody can snatch out of My hand, and My Father gave them to Me. He's greater than all. Nobody can get them out of My Father's hand." So He talks about security. But look what He says in 28. "I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish." He gives. It's a gift. He gives us eternal life, and we'll never perish. This is how we have an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. He gives us eternal life. Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now look at that verse. The gift of God that's given to us freely is, what is the gift? The gift is eternal life. And how do you get the eternal life? It's through Jesus Christ. God gives eternal life through Christ. You cannot take this for granted. You cannot assume that other people know this. You could go out to people and talk to people daily. Ask them a question. What do they think a person must do in order to be with God? You could say it all kind of ways. What do you think you got to do to go to heaven? What do you think? You could even say eternal life. What do you think you have to do to have eternal life? What do you think to do? You have to do to be with God forever? Listen to their answers. Very few people will say, "I believe in Jesus Christ and He gives me eternal life. I trust in Christ who died and rose again and He gives me eternal life." Very few people will say that. They don't even know what they're saying. Some of them are Christians and they don't even know what to say that it means to be a Christian. There are people who've been in church all their life, and if you ask them, "What do you think it means to be a Christian?" they can't answer the question for you. So we have an eternal relationship with Christ simply by faith. I want you to see our past. So flip over to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll go real quickly through this so we can get on into the grill groups. But look at Ephesians chapter 2, and it shows our past. Next week, we'll show the present. This week, we're showing the past. So look at Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verses 1, 2, and 3. And look what he says. "You were dead in your trespasses and sins." We were all spiritually dead. Am I right? Were we spiritually dead? And in our trespasses and sins, which means trespasses means we step across the line. We on purpose sinned. And then the other word for sin means that you missed the mark. You might even been trying to be good and you missed the mark. He says you were dead not only because you openly chose to sin, but sometimes you even just, you tried to do okay and you didn't. And then look what he says. "You walked formerly according to the course of this world." You lived according to the world. You lived according to the prince of the power there. That's the devil. And then in verse 3, he says, "And you lived according to the lust of the flesh." And so bottom line is we lived according to the world, the devil, and the flesh. That's how we were. Listen, you may have thought you were good. I thought I was good. I thought I did more good than bad. I'm good. No, I lived according to the world, the flesh, and the devil. And look what he says at the end of verse 3. "And we were by nature children of wrath." We were destined for the wrath of God. And what happened? what happened? Verses 4 and 5, I love this, but God, who is rich in grace and mercy. Notice what he says. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. God is rich in grace and mercy. Every one of us in this room, we should be on our faces saying, thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy. You know what grace is? Grace and mercy go together. Grace is getting what you do not deserve. You know what you don't deserve? None of us in this room deserve to go to heaven. None of us in this room deserve eternal life. None of us deserve to get to be with Jesus Christ. We all deserve to be dead. But God says, in my grace to you, I will give you eternal life. And then the mercy of God. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. What we do deserve is to be separated forever. And he doesn't give us it. In his mercy, he says, I won't separate you. In fact, I'll give you eternal life and you'll never perish. And so he says, we were dead, but God, being rich in grace and mercy, he saved us. In fact, he says he made us alive. And if you go down to verses 8 and 9, just looking at the clock, just verses 8 and 9, look what he says. By grace, you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. It's not of works, so that nobody may boast. Someone asked me the other day, what is my favorite verse? And I said, well, you know, I mean, I love John 3:16, but then you just start looking, there's a million favorite verses, but Ephesians 2:8-9 sure does say it, doesn't it? It's by grace, getting what you don't deserve. You have been saved from separation through faith, taking God at his word. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift. It's not something you earn, it's something that's a gift. It's not of works, lest anybody should what? Ever boast. You can't even say, here's what I did. That's why when people say things like, you need to make a commitment to Christ. You're not making a commitment to Christ. It's not what you do that saves you. It's what he's already done, and he's given you a gift. When people say, you've got to come down to the front and make a public profession, so you're doing it, you can look around and say, see what I did? I was able to do it. Listen, people don't understand it, but all those subtle things are works that take away from the grace of God. For by grace you have been saved through faith. We go from death to life, from darkness to light, from a child of the devil to a child of God. Romans 5:12, we now have peace with God. In Isaiah, we are no longer like sheep gone astray. In Romans chapter 3, it tells us that by God's grace we are saved and saved forever. Now, what I want to do with just the time left, turn over to 2 Corinthians, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So turn back a little bit toward the front of your Bible, not very far back, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I want to go over the verse that we talked about at the very start in that 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Because this takes us now from our past, which we were dead in trespasses and sins, and now we have a relationship with Christ. And I want you to see something in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, that you're in Christ when you put your faith in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. You were dead, but now you're what? Alive. You were in darkness, but now you're in what? Light. You were a child of the devil, but now you're a child of God. This is the difference. This is what's changed. And what I want us to see, and we'll get into it next week, that we now have a relationship with Christ, and two things stand out. We are now in union with him. We're connected with him, and we're new people. We are new people. I have a person that writes me. I knew her back, close to 30 years ago. And she wrote me and says that in her church, the pastor there is always telling the believers that they're sinners and they're wicked. And he says, just remember who you are. You're willful sinners and you're wicked. And she wrote me and said, how do you feel about that? She said, I feel terrible about it. I said, well, I feel terrible for y'all. Because I don't think that as a new creation in Christ, you should see yourself as a wicked fallen sinner. You should see yourself as a new creation in Christ. Because even Paul says, when he sins, he says, it's not really me, it's my old self. And so when we look at each other in this room, we're not wicked old sinners. We are new creations in Christ. We are in union with him. We're new people. We were dead, but now we're alive. We were in darkness, but now we're in light. We were children of the devil. Now we're children of God. So how do you see yourself? Yeah. Reconciliation. Yeah. So we're not going into the rest of the verse, but in verse 18, he says, now all these things are from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. And then your verse named that God was in Christ reconciled. He didn't count our trespasses. Listen, where are your sins? They're on Jesus Christ. They're gone. When God looks at you, what does he see? Someone in Christ, raised up, seated in the heavenly places, in union as a new creation. That's how he sees you. He doesn't see you dead in sin. He sees you alive in Christ. Where are our sins? They've been removed as far as the east as the west. They're on Jesus Christ. He's already paid the penalty. That's why, and we'll say this, you remember, one day we'll stand before Jesus Christ at what's called the judgment seat of Christ. Is it for sin? Oh, sins are never dealt with. It is for our rewards. And we'll talk about that as well. Let me give you quick applications, okay? Thanks, Bonita, for bringing that up. First of all, let's understand that by faith in Christ, we have eternal life. We have an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's by grace we have been saved. It's his grace and mercy. He saved us. He made us alive, and he placed us in Christ. We can never forget that. Second application, and this is going to take us through the whole study, let's understand the key relationships that we have because we're in Christ. We have a relationship with Christ. We have a relationship with unbelievers. We have a relationship with believers. And we want to explore that in the weeks to come on how we relate with Christ, how we relate to the unbelieving world, how we relate to believers. So may we know, I think I've got this, yeah. May we know our God, that's relationship with Christ. May we share our faith, that's a relationship with unbelievers. And may we love and serve one another, that's our relationship with believers.